Eddie Harris at the forefront on his electrified saxophone, which he invented, with Shamtime. It is from his 1968 album, The Electrifying Eddie Harris. This is Lead Stories. I'm Eutrice Lead. And guess what we're talking about today? Yeah, that strange event last night. We're talking about the so-called debate, which I call a question and answer or Q&A session. And hopefully you have some observations about it. But I bet no matter what your observations are, you're likely to have missed the biggest observation of all. Yeah, I'm throwing down the gauntlet. I'm daring you. I am challenging you to see where you go with your observations and whether it missed the target in a way, or whether, in fact, I'm hoping that you would hit the target as to what was most notable about that Q&A session last night. 888-874-4888 is the number to call. And let's get started. I wish you would get all energized and try to recall very quickly what you saw last night, if you saw anything, and what am I possibly talking about? What am I possibly hinting at? Something big was missing, and it might be so big that the party may not be able to recoup from it, but it was right there. If you were looking closely, listening closely, you would have spotted it. What am I talking about? Let's see if you get into my brain. 888-874-4888. Ed from Jamaica, you're on the air.
Hey, good afternoon, Eutrice. How you doing?
Okay, Ed. How are you?
Well, me and my thumbs. Hanging on, hanging in. I actually watched it last night at your urging. I had to digress, and basically I didn't have to work last night, so I had a little free time in between preparing my taxes. I caught the first half of it. I mean, it wasn't anything that I didn't expect. I mean, just a short observation, I knew it was going to be a dog pile on Bloomberg. His unpreparedness surprised me a little bit. I mean, I know he's not much of a public speaker. Like I said, I read his book. I know, and I've seen him speak when he was running for the mayoralty in New York City. And he basically works with a teleprompter most of the time when he does public speaking. He's a little erudite, but I was surprised he was caught so unawares. I thought he would be more prepared for the quote-unquote assaults by the other candidates. The biggest thing I got out of this is the utter sense of desperation that these individuals have on the stage. I mean, at this point in a campaign this serious and with so much at stake, to be caught up in the banality and triviality of personal attacks, of self-proclaiming records, of riding on coattails like Biden, And the sidebar with Klobuchar and Buttigieg. I mean, it looked like a circus of desperation, to be totally honest with you. Even Bernie didn't look that great. I mean, it looked like a group of people in search of a point. And they should have had a point by now. You know, it looked like an answer in search of a question. Or a question in search of an answer. That's what really got me. Just the total lack of any clear vision of any out of any of the candidates to stand on anything. I mean, Biden looked like a clown. You know, me and Obama did this, and me and Obama did that. Bernie stuck to point, but still, I think it's wearing on him. Elizabeth Warren, you know, I mean, you're loud. Just because you're loud doesn't mean you're right. So I'm tending to agree. Well, I said it before with the impeachment. I think this whole thing is a setup, and the fix is in, and we're going to have 4 more years of the monster, and he's going to be the boogeyman for all the other stuff that's going on right underneath our noses. And my personal opinion is get involved with an organization that represents some type of values, that represents some type of platform, and work locally, work within those confines, because it's going to be a bleak 4 to 8 years in this country, my personal opinion. And anything that's going to happen is going to be local, and it's going to be grassroots, and it's not going to be anything to do with a national theater of politics as they stand. That's my take on it.
Well, let me break the news to you. You're very dangerously close to the answer in my head. I don't know how you did that.
Well, I've been with you since the days of Talkback, and I've learned I was a volunteer under Hugh Hamilton and Bernard White, yourself, and all of the great minds that went on there, Place of Benjamin. So I'm a student, and like I said, the fix. Thing I get is desperation.
You did very well.
Thank you.
Let's see if we have one more before I go into my little diatribe. 888-874-4888. What was the most stark, or what was the starkest thing about this Q&A session last night? Lincoln from Mount Vernon, you're on the air.
Yeah, hi, how are you, Regis?
Okay, how are you?
I'm persevering as usual. Still in the middle of my workout. I've been exercising since about 9 o'clock this morning and taking a break. Yes, I saw nothing but desperation.
We just got that from Ed.
I know, I had to say it because that was what was on my mind since last night. So I wanted, even though I heard him say it, I was going to say it again, you know, because I'm not piggybacking on him. That's what I really saw. But I want to articulate it my way. A desperation in the sense that it had nothing to do with the people. Desperation in the sense that I felt like it was just nothing but egos at play. And it wasn't about them coming together as a force, and they would do anything to tear each other down, outrightly or in an oblique way. And it was all vacuous. The only thing of substance I heard was Bernie Sanders. Which made me rethink something Ed said yesterday. And it made me think about some of the things I said, you know, when he said he likes to be practical. And it made me stop and say, okay, you know what? And also in partially answer to part of your question yesterday, yes, we might have all kinds of ideal things, but right now, if Bernie Sanders will get in and bring the people free education and free health, then I would say temporarily go for him. I just wanted to add that in, because after we speak, sometimes I really ponder what I've said or didn't say or shouldn't have said, etc. Yeah, but I saw nothing but desperation, and it had nothing. It wasn't about the people. It was Bloomberg himself, you know, and it was a lot of contradictions. You know, and they were just grabbing at straws. And it was, I saw, too, where they were actually trying to do things just to whet the people's appetite for their own good and not for the people's sake. And I saw a bunch of people who were not trustworthy, you know. And I hate to know that I don't have something totally different from Ed, but that was really...
Actually, you'd be surprised how much you have in common with Ed. You'd be very surprised. Thanks for calling Ed. Everlasting from Alabama.
Yes, I do know what she's doing. How are you doing today?
Okay, how are you?
That's fine. Well, I did not watch it last night, so I don't know whether I can comment or whether you want me to comment another time, because I did not watch any of it, so I cannot answer your question because I didn't answer it. But I can say something about the situation if that's plausible.
Well, we're talking specifically about the debate, so you would have had to have some appreciation of what went on during this so-called debate.
Okay, well, I guess I can call back another time. I did not watch it.
All right. Thank you for calling just the same. All right, so here's what I saw. I could not believe that in 2020, this party, this Democratic Party, this evolved Democratic Party would stage what it calls a debate that actually was a free-for-all. People are right. They're clawing into each other, tearing each other apart, and not even with a purpose. It was just for tearing each other apart. But here's the thing. None of them acknowledged the party that they're running, whose umbrella they're running under. None of them. And none of them acknowledged the party. And that was a huge hint. How do you run as a Democrat, and in 2 hours of yammering, you don't get the opportunity, or you don't make the opportunity to mention that that's what you are. You're running as a Democrat. This is the Democratic Party. Nobody acknowledged the party. What does that mean? It means that the internal functioning of the party is way off key, because that is part of their identity. That is what every candidate, no matter what their views are on individual points, that should always somehow come into the conversation and presented by the speaker, whoever it might be, that you're running as a Democrat. None of them did that. That suggests there's a huge gap within the party itself, that people would not recognize and not acknowledge that they come from the ranks of the Democratic Party. They all have different platforms, maybe. They differ on a whole bunch of things, maybe. But the one thing they don't differ on is that they are Democrats. That suggests some very serious internal problems. Nobody should have to school anybody about making sure that you big up, as my Jamaican friends say, you big up the party. Nobody did. Not one. I thought that was spectacular. So there, it made clear to me that there's such a rift within the party that, and it's running so deep that not one of the candidates was able to present him or herself as a party in opposition to Donald Trump. A party, not an individual, a party. The individual being a part of the party. Now, that's what you do when you recognize the value of branding. That's what you do when you recognize that one of the things you must do, whether people like you or not, you must convey that you are part of the group, an insurgent group. So that even if they don't like you and don't want to vote for you, they'll vote for some other member of the party. That was a serious error. And it says that the party fails, and it has done so just about every time they have one of these dog and pony shows. It fails to educate the contestants that aside from communicating their positions on things, they are ambassadors of the party. They never mentioned that. And there's a reason for that. And that's part two of the criticism on this point. The party does not have a clear articulation about what it stands for in this contest. What is the party's general position on a range of things? So if you're talking about education, certainly you would mention the party's position on education. That's the reason you are part of this process. It's an educational process as well for the public. It wouldn't hurt you to say, and that's why I agree with the party's position on such and such and such. Nobody talked in that kind of language last night. Nobody. And the first question somebody listening to this thing would ask is, wait a minute, are these all Democrats? You mean none of them is aware of where their own party stands on the particular issue that they are discussing or the particular question they're answering? Nobody has a perspective from the party's point of view? So another extension of that argument is the party is in trouble. Because everybody has a different point of view, which I could understand. But in the end, you're running as a Democrat. And you ought to be able to articulate to the public anytime you speak, not just what you think, but also how confluent is what you're thinking with that of the party. That's what a good party loyalist will do. So it tells me there is no such thing as loyalty or absolute loyalty to this party. I kept listening. I said, certainly I would hear something. Somebody mentioned the party. Nobody did. And when a thing like that happens, it points directly to a breakdown within the party. where everybody is running as an individual minus identification with the party. It's a big problem. And if you listen too fast, you'd miss it. Well, that was the first thing I noticed. Nobody talking about the party and the party's position, which they support. Well, you've heard of rugged individualism. That's what we got. Everybody has a highly individualistic interpretation of the meaning of their running for office. But this isn't rugged individualism. This is ragged, ragged individualism. They displayed last night all of the candidates that even they don't care. The party and advancing the interests of the party, these things are not within their consideration. It's about me. Oh, no. Let's not talk about me. Let's talk about you, they tried to say. And then the very next question would be, so what do you think about me? This party is shot to hell. That's the bottom line. Nobody's in charge of crafting the message. Nobody was in charge of talking to all of the candidates that no matter what you express as your point of view on any particular subject, it is imperative, especially since we're going uphill here. We're climbing a very steep hill against Trump. We need all the help we can get. You have six people who say they are Democrats running under your banner, and not one makes it known, I'm a Democrat. In only one instance did we hear Elizabeth Warren say, in response to another question from, in response to Bloomberg, and she seized on this question of non-disclosure agreements after pointing out that Bloomberg has a sordid history of the way women are treated in his company. And then she says, I am running. I agree with the party on this question, and that's why I'm running to defeat Trump. But that was a kind of giveaway line. I'm saying that nobody of all these people running thought it appropriate, in fact, necessary, to make it clear they are running as Democrats. And that especially includes Bloomberg. Doesn't mention it at all. Bloomberg, who was a Republican and then switched in order that he could have a home base to run in this election. And that was it. There was no big emotional attachment here. He had a practical issue. And the Democratic Party leadership let him. So his entrance into this fight, his entry, I should say, into this fight, also served another negative purpose, which was to split everybody, having them attack each other, having them being very grumpy and very negative. And they felt they had to be that way to head off any criticism that might come their way as coddling Bloomberg. Now, they said a lot without saying a lot last night about the trouble they and their party are in. They did not help their party. They did not help the philosophy of their party. It was every person to him or herself. And it was as if, you know, a bunch of people just gathered and somebody said, hey, why don't we have a debate? And they said, okay. They had no grooming from this party. They seemed never to have had, this was what, the sixth or so debate. I remarked about it before. Nobody seemed to have coached them that apart from being individual candidates, they are ambassadors for their party. And wherever they can make a point about that, they should. Because things don't look so bright for the Democratic Party right now. It needs all the help it could get. It got no help last night. And this is basically, especially since Bloomberg has joined the fray, that's the attitude. It's ragged individualism. Nobody is paying attention to the party. Nobody is a good ambassador of the party. And people don't understand how important that is. It's very important. And it is also so elemental, you can't believe that in 2020, you have to point these things out to people who should know these things by heart right now. Ridiculous. Nobody, in whatever points they made, except for, what's her name? Elizabeth Warren, who gave that little cliche of about a couple of words, and that's why I'm running as a Democrat. Nobody else did that. And even so, it was insufficient what she did. These candidates were so focused on themselves and their own agenda. They made neither time nor space available to bring the party along for the ride, to let people know why they're running as Democrats. Now, understand me well. I'm not suggesting that, I favor the Democratic Party. It's not like that at all. It is when you see a thing unfold, and this thing involves people of such high caliber who should know things and whose teams should know things. This is the kind of advice they should get. Every opportunity you have, every bit of access that you have to any kind of media, apart from extolling your own virtues, you give a little kiss to your party. You show a little love to your party. But none of them acted that like they loved the party at all. They loved themselves and their own highly individualized agendas. which is the wrong thing to do. Totally wrong and short-sighted. Nobody acted as if not just they themselves individually are fighting against Republicans and Donald Trump. They refused to present their party as essentially a formidable force in the fight. That could help the party. You don't have to go overboard and saying, you know, I am a Democrat all night long. But you mean in 2 hours? Nobody could throw a little bone over there to the Democratic Party? Whose umbrella you running under? That was a blatant omission to me. And it's not the first time. This is what has been happening during the course of all these so-called debates. They leave the party out and talk about themselves as if they have no connection to this party. Now, I blame the leadership of the party. Because when you have a contest, especially one this tight, one this strategic, you coach your people. You're not telling them what to do and how to answer a question. So that, you know, if such and such a person should ask you about education, you have the answer, and you become something of an automaton answering the Democratic Party's view on education. No, not at all. Answer your question the way you want to answer your question. All I'm saying is manners and respect will go a long way in helping both you and your party advance. It doesn't take much. We got one line from Elizabeth Warren saying, and that is why, this is how she ended her thing. She didn't explore it from the start, but she ended it with, and that is why I'm running as a Democrat. Something to that effect. That was the big mistake. People would not understand how huge that was. What it gave away. Any analyst looking at that knows, as of last night, the Democratic Party is in deep trouble. It has no cohesion to speak of. It's a bunch of individuals that they can't control. They seem to have no influence in how these debates should go in terms of communicating the party's message. And here you are, all these people running as Democrats under the Democratic Party umbrella. The party is assuming all these costs to present you to the public. And you mean you can't say not one thing about your party that would communicate to the public why you identify, why you are running? All of them acted like Bloomberg, who gave absolutely no credit to the Democratic Party, doesn't mention it at all for the entire 2 hours. And so did everybody else. They ignored their party. Shame on them and shame on the party. If they can't see by now how important it is to educate their own candidates about what they're supposed to do when they have a substantial media exposure, how to promote the party and the positions of the party without compromising their own personal beliefs. like I said, ragged individualism. We'll take a break and then come back to more of your observations right after this. Listening to Lead Stories on PRN.FM. I'm Eutrice Lead, and I just disclosed to you the biggest problem with last night's debate, which has been an ongoing problem in all of its so-called debates that it has held so far. E from Edgewater, you're on the air.
Good afternoon, Eutrice.
Hello, how are you?
Hello. I'm doing well. I hope you're doing well, and the rest of the PRN audience is doing well also.
Thank you. Thank you very much.
The reason I called in today was mainly to discuss something about Bloomberg. His first name is Michael Bloomberg or David Bloomberg?
Yes, Michael.
David? Michael, okay.
Michael.
Now, if I was him and I wanted to be the president, it would be, and I had all the money that he has, it would be very simple to become the president, I think, because he has a big advantage over all the other candidates, because he has all this money. I would have gotten in the race right from the start, and I would have been in all the debates, and I would have, instead of using that
you
money...
You see, the thing is, when you have this kind of money, you could do anything you want when you want to do it. And he just felt, well, okay, I might as well jump into the fray right now, because even though I didn't put in enough headway here in this contest, I could make people know me. So it's not that he doesn't understand these things.
Right.
It is just that the mindset is, I could buy my way into anything that I want, as he did with the Democratic Party. Thanks, E, for calling in.
Wait.
Hello? Yes?
Yes, I didn't make my point. It'll take me a minute to make the point I'm trying to make, okay?
I'm sorry.
All right. Now, like I started, I would have started right from the beginning, because I want to be in there. If I really want to be the president, which I don't believe he wants to be, but if I really want to be the president, and I was 12 years the mayor of New York City, so that qualifies me, I think, to have enough credentials to be the president, if I was able to run the city of New York for 12 years, and I have all this money, I would start right from the start, just like everybody else did. We all learned who Andrew Yang was and Tulsi Gabbard and all the rest of them. We found out who they were by being on these so-called debates, and we found out who they were. I would start just like they did, and I wouldn't miss out on Iowa, getting delegates from Iowa and New Hampshire.
Well, you're basically repeating his approach to running. And here's a basic that you haven't mentioned so far. A big factor, even if you start late, is that people should get to know you and like you. That is
right.
Not one of his strong points.
Yeah.
All right.
Yes.
Let's move on. I have to move on. There are other people waiting, and I got to get to them. Jose from Rosedale, you're on the air.
Greetings, my professor.
Hello.
I hope all is well with you and the family.
Thank you.
I listened a little bit to that vaudeville show last night, but the point, my little point I would like to make is this. This Michael Bloomberg, right, is a man with mucho billions of dollars. And I think if he really wanted to be president of the United States, he knew that Donald Trump is going to do a term, and after that term, he's going to go for another term. He had ample time to plan, to use some of his billions to go after Donald Trump and challenge him in the Republican primary. I would have loved to see him go that way.
We're not deciphering where he messed up in his campaign.
Mm-hmm.
We're discussing what happened last night.
Yes. Now,
that's all we discussed.
What I saw last night is there's an exchange between he, Mike Bloomberg, and I believe it was Bernie Sanders, I think, and where he told him that he gave so many millions to the Democratic Party. And I want to know, if you can give that much money to the Democratic Party, what kind of influence will you have on the party? I told you before that the Democratic Party is morally bankrupt. And it is nothing, it is acting like a local call girl, to put it in a nicer term. That's what the Democrats have become. And Bloomberg, he has the same intentions of Donald Trump and the same mindset and everything. And I think he went into the Democratic Party to make sure that they're going to get the type of president that they need in the United States. If it's not Trump, it must be him. But he's not there to bring about a change.
Hello. I am a stickler for this one thing. We stay on topic. We stay on the topic so that each episode is as complete as we can get it. But when we start going off in these directions, even though I'm pulling your coat, you're not listening, you're not taking the hints, you're telling us why you think Michael Bloomberg is running. We're not discussing that right now. We discussed that when he declared he is now a Democrat. We discussed it then. But we are trying to remain relevant to the most recent development here as to why. What did I get that most people did not get about what was missing, and therefore what the implications are? That's where we are right now. So you'll have to hold on to your point to when we get back to Michael Bloomberg and the whole thing. But we are looking specifically, we're reacting to the Q&A session last night. Thanks for calling. Jay from New York. Hello, Jay.
Good evening, Eutrice. Hello. Good afternoon to the listeners. I'm ahead of time. Basically, last night, it just showed the difference in one being prepared and the others being on attack. Bloomberg wasn't really prepared for the debate. He was like a deer in headlights. Elizabeth Warren was on attack on the highest level that she possibly could be, and it helped her, from what it seems, with the donors. Bernie Sanders, Buttigieg was Kovachev was, she is who she is, and unfortunately, I don't remember who the sixth person was, so that right there just shows you. As far as the message goes,
Biden.
See, that just goes to show you. I didn't even remember that it was Biden. And from what I observed from him, it's his continuous spill about what he did in regards to his time with Obama. Nothing about his past record and things that he's been involved with. It seems like it's no real honest direction on where the party is going. It seems like there's an attack against Bernie and his so-called socialistic ideas that for some reason scares them. Then there's an attack on Bloomberg because of his money, which to me, honestly, I feel is being used misdirectedly because he doesn't have the charisma nor what it takes to get elected. So he would be more suited to...
How can you say that after the man served 3 terms as mayor of the city of New York? It showed that that's the thing. His election as mayor in the city of New York showed that people were beyond, you know,
right. His personality. I mean, that's quite obvious. I mean, look at him on the stage. I don't know if you looked at it. From my understanding, you don't have a TV. You may have been decided to torture yourself and look at it online. But the thing is, if you look at him, he has no charisma. He doesn't have what it takes to go against Trump in regards to the psyche of the American people and how much the American people love theater.
Well, let's get back to the Q&A. I laid out my observations. Was I off base or on base? Are you there, Jay? Okay, we lost Jay. Ernie from New York, you're on the air.
Yeah, hello, I'm here. One second, hold on. Hi, Yutris.
Hello.
Can you hear me? Hi, thank you. Thank you for calling, taking my call. I did watch the debate, I'll say maybe 80% of it, and I agree that what you said, they did not come together as far as being from one party. From the beginning, they were at each other, and they started attacking Bloomberg. And they made Bloomberg look like a little spoiled rat that did something wrong, and it didn't look good from my standpoint, the attack at Bloomberg, because Bloomberg, again, he doesn't appear like a tough guy, even though politically he might make decisions that might hurt people in general. But one thing that I noticed at the debate is that Bloomberg did not attack, and he did not attack Biden as strong as he could have. And part of it, I think, he was in sort of like a jam because he has been using Obama on his political ads to help him, you know, whatever. And he was stuck because he couldn't attack Obama and Biden presidency during their, when they were running things, because he had been using Obama's on his ads. So when Biden attacked him regarding the frisking the policy of searching, and he did not come back strong with the, because we know for a fact that during the presidency of Obama, the millions of immigrants were deported or sent back. So there's a couple of things that I noticed, but that's just what I wanted to bring to your attention.
Well, here's what to keep in mind. All 6 candidates should have been very clear, and they should have communicated that they were very clear that the enemy is not each other, even if they disagree with the positions of their running mates. The enemy is Donald Trump. They keep tearing each other up.
Exactly. It didn't look good from the beginning. I mean, they were after
exactly.
each other. They should...
And this is what I'm saying. When you see this happening, it means that nobody is on watch to stop that from happening. They're tearing each other up and down and across. Nobody really should be doing that. Focus on who your target really is. And let the people make sense of your argument. That's how you win support. So even if you and three other people said the same thing about the same subject, at least one of you would have had the edge on the others by making a more forceful point. But you can't spend all this time fighting each other. For one thing, we don't learn.
We didn't learn anything.
We don't learn much about, you know, whatever it is you disagree with in that format. And secondly, it's such a waste of time. It means you're not intelligent. You're not intelligent enough to understand who your enemy is. Focus on him. Focus on the Republicans. Focus on their agenda. And show where your agenda is different. But they act like little children and behaving badly in public.
Yeah, and castigating Bloomberg for whatever happened back.
Bloomberg, in an indirect way, indicated he doesn't want any part of this.
Right.
That's why he was quiet quite a bit. He does not want any part of this massacre that they're conducting with each other. And the Democratic Party should know by now it's a turnoff. People don't want, it's like watching a husband and wife fight in public. Who wants to see that?
Exactly.
You know,
well,
this is what they ought to be addressing, because it really affects people, and in turn, it affects the appeal of the party. Who wants to support a party that behaves like this in public? Thanks for calling in.
Right. Thank you.
Thank you. Well, let's see. Oh, we have time for one more call. Willie, you are on the air.
Good afternoon, beloved. Listen.
Hello.
Yes, good afternoon. We already know that this is a Q&A. By them selling us as a debate, it's totally suspect. So my question, I can understand you're not dealing with the regular people in the United States. You're dealing with the PRN listeners. We know better than that. Why are we listening to it? We shouldn't be listening to it in the first place.
Why shouldn't we listen to it?
Because we already know.
It's information that ultimately we should know, because it may have a direct impact on our, you know, our lives in just a couple of months. We should know what people are thinking out there, what they say.
No, but what I'm saying is that it's a question and answer. We all agree on that, right? And they're telling us it's a debate. In other words, they're making us to be like some kind of fools. So if you're going to insult my intelligence like that, I wouldn't entertain it, because the television companies, they make a lot of money from the amount of people watching it. So what we're doing, some of us are really doing, is supporting that industry, in from my judgment.
Okay. I don't know that I agree. And the reason is, it's information, just to say. And the kind of information that we should pay attention to.
Okay.
Because it would have a direct impact eventually on our lives. So why just say out of hand, I'm not watching it?
Well, I think we should be more, our energies should be directed towards how are we going to survive and control
what
they do.
I agree with that. I agree with that. But I don't see why we should ignore, deliberately ignore information that is available. You don't have to believe it. You don't have to follow it. You don't have to adopt it. But it's available. So but watch it. You still have a working brain. You can still determine what's useful and what's not. But to just say, I'm not even going to bother watching it. It's but a bit extreme. Oh, look at the time. We have used up our time today, and I thank you all for calling, as I always do. You elevate the program with your thoughts and your analysis and just your general spirit, and I thank you for that. So we'll see each other tomorrow. It's Free Your Mind Friday. Bye-bye.